This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's just 20 minutes away. Maybe we've got some stuff cooked up around a busy slate of Major League Baseball. Maybe we've got a few NHL plays because there's a few more big games in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Maybe even a few more draft bets to sprinkle in there. And, of course, NBA Game 2s, which we get into in just a couple of minutes. The last two NBA Game 2s in the first round of the playoffs in just a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Alongside Joe Ostrowski, I'm Chris Mack. It is a little bit of a trend breaker, right? Like, we had the home teams dominating throughout all of the game ones and the first few game twos, and we get that somewhat turned on its head in the last two games last night. Pacers all over the Bucks with a monster game from Pascal Siakam to go up in that, or excuse me, even up that series, and the Mavs bounce back against the Clippers with defense. How about that? Defense. Kawhi Leonard returning to the lineup for LA, going 0-for from three. Luka Doncic dropping 32, and the Mavs resting control, at least home court-wise, back in that series. Tonight, we get two massive spreads. One very big spread, at least for a playoff game, right? Oklahoma City favored by 7.5 at home against New Orleans. Nick Friedel a couple moments ago, if you missed it, you can always rewind inside your Odyssey app to that segment or get everything on demand by subscribing to us, following as a podcast inside your Odyssey app, BetQL Daily. Thought maybe there was a little bit of pushback to be had from New Orleans, especially considering the fact that they could just sniff being that close in game one for most of the night. But then in Boston, the first of tonight's two games, Joe, it's the Celtics by 14.5. They were so utterly dominant in game one that the Celtics have been taken off the board most places for a series price. Miami 40-1 to come back and win the series. As for tonight's game, Porzingis, one of the most bet player props, under 2.5 threes. Caleb Martin over 7.5 points is a popular one right now. There's just not a lot of angles, I think, other than the one that's been, well, it's been hitting more often than not through the first couple of games of these NBA playoffs, and that's the under. The total, though, just 203.5.
Yeah, totally with you there, man. I'm not excited about this game at all, which means what? Miami's probably going to win, but just you look at the number and just, I don't know what you do there. So Miami actually, they hung around. They had a big advantage in the paint, but it obviously doesn't matter in the very end. But it's like, what do you end up doing? The total has been smashed unders. That's been the trend. And this thing opened at 208. Now we're sitting here 203 in the hook. And now we're looking at it. It's trying to figure out, okay, when do we go too far? When do we go too far? And the unders last night, two of the three end up hitting. I actually brought up the point, did they lower it too much with Indiana, Milwaukee, two teams all year, high pace, can't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. Did they lower it too much when it was 223.5? Well, it ended up being that because it goes over by about 10. So it's just kind of figuring out where's the overreaction, the overadjustments, whatever you want to call it, and then striking. Is it too low at 203 in the hook with Miami and Boston? Would it surprise me if we have a score similar to last night between the Mavs and the Clippers? Not really. I'm just talking level of scoring. Obviously, probably a larger margin of victory in favor of Boston. That's the expectation. The one thing that I would consider, I guess, Hero. He took 9 3-point attempts, you know, without Jimmy Butler. In that Bulls game, and now the Bulls give up a ton of three-point attempts. He made a bunch early on in that game. It's good plus money at over 3.5 made threes for Hero. It's plus 136, but it is a much more difficult matchup. He made three the other night, didn't get to the number, but maybe he does in this game. Maybe he's the hot hand on the road and they end up hanging around because that's what it would take. But you know he's going to be out there. You know he's going to be chucking.
Yeah, I don't mind the under here. Like you said, you could see it playing out similarly to Mavs Clippers last night. But I also think if Miami's going to win, they've got to win a rock fight. Like, and I don't know if I like Miami to win any games in this series. Boston can win an ugly game too, but the only path to victory, I think, for the Heat is an ugly game, like a 98-96 kind of deal where, again, it comes under, but you're kind of sweating it at the end, and it's ugly most of the night. New Orleans, Oklahoma City is another one at 210.5 where maybe you want to go under. I don't know if game one wasn't just the right kind of scare for the Thunder, though. Like, oh, man, we let them hang around. We let them hang around. We let them hang around. I could see the Thunder stepping on the gas tonight. And so I don't necessarily want – I don't want to bet the under there. 7.5 might be a little much, but – some of the most bet player props in this one, Trey Murphy over 26.5 PRA, Josh Giddey under 20.5 PRA. Those some of the most popular bets anyway at BetMGM. Series price on this one now, OKC minus 1,200, Pelicans plus 750. I don't see a path to New Orleans winning more than a game in this series. Unless there's some sort of dramatic Zion Williamson Willis Reed moment where he walks in the middle of a fourth quarter, I think tonight is the night Oklahoma City takes charge of the series for good and kind of just says, okay, yeah, it was nice what you did in game one. It was a very good story you told. Now we take over.
Yeah, I understand that line of thinking. I think you could go either way. You could also say, okay, look at what's happened since the Zion injury. Everybody said they're done. They didn't have them winning that play-in against Sacramento. They did. And they win that game. And then that was impressive. It was not what most people were expecting against the one seed. Nikki is right that sometimes the one seed will just get slapped in the face in game one, take the gut punch. Mm-hmm. Oh, they survive. And then it's a big wake-up call. And then they just kind of take over. It's more of what we've seen in the regular season. I don't know. 7.5 feels like a lot. I know that's a tough venue to play at. These smaller market teams, just it's always a wild atmosphere. And we're going to expect more of that. But they have enough talent to hang around. That's the one thing that pops to me. Like I would consider the 7.5. But what I like even more than that are some of these prop angles on the New Orleans side for some reason. Because without Zion, where's everything going to go through, right? Is it McCollum? Is Ingram going to turn it around? He's been working back from the injury. Ingram took 17 shots the other day. It wasn't a great performance for him. He goes 5-for-17 from the field. His points prop is 19.5. The way he's playing ball right now, I can't go there. It's just too much for me. But, you know, McCollum, 80 touches in that game. I think they're going to continue that. And he has almost the same points prop at 20.5. I find that interesting. You mentioned Murphy. Made threes is at 3.5. He took 12 of them in that game. So is that going to continue? I could see it. I could see it. Valanciunas is pretty interesting. Of early on here in the playoffs, he had 8 post-ups. That's third most that we're seeing on average. I know it's one game, but you know the other games that I've played a couple times, I'm just throwing it out there in comparison. Paint touches, he had 12 in game one. Like that's a ton.
Okay.
That's a ton. Second most we've seen in the playoffs so far. So I was looking at his points and rebounds. grabbed 20 boards in that game, 23 and a half for points and rebounds for Valanciunas. So I could see that, you know, with obviously Zion out, where they're going to need more of that from him.
That's, I really like that, points and rebounds over for Valanciunas. Like you said, the offense being structured to funnel that direction anyway, when Zion is healthy. Some updated series prices other than the ones we just talked about. Denver now minus 1,600 to the Lakers plus 850. Cleveland minus 700 to Orlando's 5-1. Knicks minus 500 to Phillies plus 375. All of these at BetMGM. The two series that I think we all agree are the tightest and will be the most interesting to watch and probably go the longest. Mavericks minus 145 to the Clippers plus 120. And the Bucks minus 120 to the Pacers. Even money. If you believe that Kawhi's just got to shake some rust off and that the Clippers can get hot again and that Harden can have another couple of games like he did in game one, I don't hate the plus 120 look for the Clippers now that you're there. But that's really, none of those series prices really do a lot for me other than that one. And just for the record, I'm still on Dallas, but I could see it if you're trying to find an angle to bet the Clippers for the rest of this series, you may have one.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so it's award season now in the NBA. So unlike previous years, they're actually letting us know what awards are coming up. They put out a mini schedule. Before, it was like, okay, you turn on the pregame show and you didn't know what award was going to be handed out when. We do know that tonight is going to be the Sixth Man of the Year. Do you have a prediction? Malik Monk, Bobby Portis Jr., Naz Reid are the finalists. This is probably going to be Monk or Portis, right, for Sixth Man?
I was going to say, I think it's Monk.
Even with the injury at the end? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Probably.
Yeah, that's my lean on it. I don't have the numbers in front of me as far as what the odds were when they closed. But that seems like the look, I think. Sorry, I'm just trying to pull them up right now. Yeah, I'll go Malik.
Well, they're not.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, they took them all down.
I was trying to find the final ones before they got taken down. And not available now. I can't find that anywhere. But yeah, Malik Monk is my play.
So you're probably right. So much turmoil in Milwaukee. I don't think Bobby Portis is going to end up getting that credit, even though he's been super consistent. He's better than I thought when he was going to be when the Bulls drafted him. Most improved result last night. So final voting, how they do it with the points. Maxey wins over Kobe White. That was the expectation. Maxey was a favorite most of the year. Like it got to a ridiculous number, but it was about a coin flip a few weeks before the season ended. Kobe White, 305. So Maxey, 319. Kobe White, 305. Maxey had 51 first place votes. Kobe White at 32. I figured it would be Maxey. Maxey had the better season, but it just reminds me that I did not bet on this award because I've been so pissed off about how the voting has gone, and it happened again. How can you be most improved player when you average 20 points per game the season before? He's already at a certain level. There's not much higher for him to go. Did he take another step? Yes. But when you've already established yourself as one of the better players in the league, I don't think you should be getting votes for most improved. The voters disagree. Like, I look at a guy like Kobe White, who doubled his scoring, averaging less than 10 points per game to 19 points per game this season. That's a guy that's most improved. Whoa, really came onto the scene. And it's not a Chicago thing at all. I felt the same thing when Ja Morant won it a few years ago. Markkanen, they got it right last year. But I just don't understand this idea of, and it's usually guys in big markets where they're already 20-point scorers, and then now they're most improved. I strongly disagree with that, their line of thinking.
I'd, I'd love to know when the ballots were turned in by most people for this, or maybe not when the ballots were turned in, maybe when they actually came to their decision, right? Because that could have been weeks ago. Could have been, I don't know, maybe that night after Maxey had 50 in double overtime or whatever it was. I think a lot of this was an acknowledgement by some voters of, hey, you did a pretty good job keeping your heads above water while Embiid was out the final third of the season. Good job. Here you go.
Yeah.
Because to your point, the most improved, was there some improvement in Maxey? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. There was some. Especially in being able to burden or take the burden, the weight on his shoulders of being the guy in Philly. Granted, they didn't play exceedingly well without Embiid in the lineup down the stretch, but taking the burden of being that guy, if you simply go on numbers and look at last year compared to this year, yeah, it's Coby White. That should be the guy. But he finishes a close second to Maxey in most improved player, as Joe mentioned, sixth man. Bobby Portis a few weeks ago was out to 100-1. Was that right? Good Lord.
Wow.
Jeez. No, I couldn't. Oh, geez. That's a huge number, so hopefully you got it. Lightning bets, maybe some home run or total base props, and some hockey and hoops as well here on BetQL Daily.